One of the best things about being an independent producer of a radio program and podcast is hearing from listeners. I do all my work on a tiny scale without underwriting or anyone to do PR, so I don't have to deal with too many Russian bots or spam promotions in the comment section on my blog, and my radio and podcast listeners seem exceptionally nice and helpful. I do get more email than I know how to deal with, mostly bird listserv reports, updates from bird and conservation organizations, and spam, with some work-related stuff thrown in. I don't often hear from listeners, and sometimes when I do, their interesting and important emails get mixed up with everything else, and I lose track of them. If you've ever sent me an email and I responded but never followed up, that's unfortunately what happened. On Thanksgiving last week, I received a couple of emails from listeners that made me very thankful. Julie in Hollister, Wisconsin, sent me a great article by Patrick O'Connell in the Chicago Tribune detailing how well sandhill cranes are doing in the Chicago area and beyond. It notes that in the 1930s, only 24 breeding pairs of sandhill cranes lived in the entire state of Wisconsin. The population in the upper Midwest is now between 65,000 and 95,000, and the increase has accelerated in the past decade. Why are they doing so well? Wetlands recovery has been a big part of it, but the president of the International Crane Foundation, Rich Bielfus, said they've made this existential decision to live with people rather than avoid them. Those of us who live in northern Wisconsin and Minnesota can't help but notice and enjoy that increase, too. Along with the interesting article, Julie wrote a Thanksgiving message to me. Quote, I just wanted to tell you that you are one of the things I'm grateful for. You made our adjustment to rural Wisconsin less painful. We had been coming here and owned this property for over 30 years, but didn't realize how isolated we might feel actually living here. Your voice with your mostly uplifting stories really helped us along as we started our new adventure. Julie added, mostly uplifting, because sometimes you share something that is hard to hear, but your take on it makes me feel, well, let's see if we can work to make this better. Julie's email left me with a warm Thanksgiving glow, as did this one from Joni in Brandon, Florida. Hi, Laura. I recently discovered your podcast, and it is now one of my favorites. I appreciate your passion for and enjoyment of birds. I also like hearing about what is going on in your life and your concerns for the environment. I like your most recent podcast, A November Awakening, and I agree completely about preferring standard time. Joni continues, I am blind. So I can't appreciate the visual beauty of birds, but I love bird songs and being able to identify some birds that way. Since tomorrow is Thanksgiving, I decided it was a good time to send you a note of thanks for all the work you do. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and thanks for all the pleasure and insights you have provided via your podcast. I seldom get around to thanking the many people who enrich my life. If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? And if a person produces a program and no one listens, does her work have any meaning? For the birds would be worthless without somebody out there listening. That is why I am so very grateful to you for listening. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.